Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on the Preds being swept from the playoffs last night. First time in franchise history they've been swept, as Joe Rex Road holds up a Detroit Lions mug on our video streaming, which is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry, Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. So nice plug there, Joe. Well done.
Point being, it could always be worse if you're a sports fan. Remember, Nashville Predators fans, at least you are not Detroit Lions fans. Now, for those of you who are both, I'm going to pour a little bit of this out for you today.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mike from Montana. Mike, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, guys. How's it going this morning?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Well, I'm doing better, a little bit better than I was last night. Well, it was just an embarrassing loss from a fan's perspective. I live up here, and most of the fans up here are Avalanche fans, and it's pretty intolerable right now. But I think coming out of last season, I think the message on the team was our best players need to be our best players. And clearly in the Carolina series, our top players weren't performing, and that was the message. And then this year you have just phenomenal seasons by Forsberg, Duchesne, Yossi, Saros. They're all playing really well. And then we get into a series against Colorado, and there's just such a clear talent disparity there. I mean, just looking at it from a 30,000-foot angle. Last year, this year, we've lost four straight playoffs in the first round. It's getting frustrating from a fan's perspective to constantly watch our team go in as an 8 or a 7 seed and then just get taken to the cleaners. And even though last year we acquitted ourselves well, there was some hope going in. But I think the problem is that it's kind of like out here. I work on these back roads, and in the wintertime when you try to get up a hill that's icy, sometimes you get up like 8/10 of the way to the top, and you lose traction and you lose power and you just can't quite make it to the top of the hill. And what you have to do is you have to back all the way back down the hill and take another run at it. And I feel like this franchise is in a grasping to try to stay where we are, like fighting tooth and nail, signing long-term deals to try to keep the core of players just to maintain that, 12 to 15 rank in the NHL overall. And if we re-sign Philip Forsberg this year, which, I mean, I'm assuming Poile's going to, let's say it's $9 million, that means that 2/3 of our salary cap is going to be tied up in 7 players. And that's Saros, Ekholm, Yossi, Duchesne, Johansson, Granlund, and Forsberg. And that group just isn't competitive against the top teams in the NHL. So that leaves you 1/3 of your cap left for, I think, what is an NHL roster? 24 players. You have 17 players left with a third of that money left. How do we get if we don't take a step back and say, look, we've got an aging core, we've got a young team, but there's only three ways you acquire talent, right? You either draft and develop, you sign, or you trade. Well, we've already eliminated the trade options. Poile has. If you sign, you're overpaying because you're paying full market price. But if you draft, you're drafting guys that are more than likely, bottom 6 or bottom 9 forwards. You're not drafting these high guys like McKinnon, like McGar. And look at, to the point of, hey, be careful what you wish for. If you take a step too far back, you become the Detroit Lions. That's true. But look at the teams that have knocked us out the last couple of years in the playoffs. Colorado, Carolina, look at Tampa Bay, look at Pittsburgh. Where are their top guys, their top core players, where were they drafted? They're all top 5 picks because that's where the high-end talent is. And yep, we've traditionally, to get that, we've had to trade for it. Duchesne was a top 5 pick, but we had to sign top market value for him. Johansson was a top 5 pick, but we traded our top 5 pick to get him. I feel like the time has come where we just have to take a step back, and I don't know if we can do that because Poile's kind of committed himself to this competitive rebuild. How do we get more talent here with such 2/3 of our salary cap tied up in 7 players? I don't see the call, path. Mike. It's not.
Yep, we appreciate it. I mean, I agree a lot of what Mike said there. By the way, we may have to install a timer today. We've got a few calls going like over 4 minutes.
I want to say, first of all, that was a very good call by Mike. Very good points. I love the real life analogy. And I think he earned a little more time because you just ignored him for hours in the text line and left him twisting the wind in Montana. Mike's in Montana just trying to faithfully wait on the one phone booth in Montana to call us. But yeah, that did get a little bit long there.
But I agree.
But he makes good points.
I mean, he made some really good points. Like, I think it's one of those things that's exactly what I was communicating earlier of it's really difficult to nail down where they are because there is a clear difference. Like, Philip Forsberg is a really, really good player. Matt Duchene is a really, really good player. Roman Josi is an elite player. But this core, as currently constructed, they're not good enough to match up with McKinnon and McDavid and obviously all these top-level guys throughout the league. And look, what makes Colorado really good? Like, Nathan McKinnon, he's better now than he was in 2018. He's not that much better now than he was in 2018. He was really, really good in 2018. The difference is the team. Like, there's a lot of depth around Colorado right now. So I still think that matters more than anything. Like, you know, we talked about McDavid and Draisaitl for years. Those two are, you know, as good as anybody in the league, and they've not done anything in the playoffs because they have nothing around them. Now, we'll see whether or not that changes this year. So depth is still, to me, the most important thing. But it's one of those things, too, where, to Mike's point, Philip Forsberg's a really good player. Matt Duchene's a really good player. They're not great players. Nathan McKinnon is a great player, and there was a pretty clear difference in this series.
Yeah, and so that's why there's no easy answer. The one thing I disagree with Mike on, he said, I assume Poile's going to sign him. I'm not assuming that. And so then you could say, well, if you go through everything Mike said there, well, maybe that's better. But again, the problem is you had a chance to recoup something and kind of think rebuild and think long term by trading him when you could have gotten a lot of value out of it, which, hey, let me raise my hand. I changed my mind during the year. I thought 100% they had to trade him as the season began. And then when things were going really well, it's like, well, I can't blame him for not trading him.
Same here.
You know, you sign him long term and you keep him, and you might have a team that makes a run this year. And then everything else happened. And if he walks for nothing, that's where, yeah, now you have room. You can go try to find somebody else. To Mike's point, you're out in free agency. You're paying top dollar. And in a lot of cases, you're overpaying. It's a bind. I mean, it's a tough spot for them. But I still would say, unless you are committed to just absolutely taking these steps back, which I have my doubts that David Poile thinks that way, I have my doubts that ownership thinks that way. If you aren't committed to that, then it's critical that you sign Philip Forsberg.
Matt from Camden texting in says, Montana guy with a great point. Tyler texting in says, he sounded like Corey Curtis. Do you think Mike from Montana and Corey Curtis sounded similar? I could see that a little bit.
Not really, but I feel your pain, Mike, and the Az fans. You know, the Az fans here were fine. My Aunt Mary and Uncle Andy are like day one season ticket holders of the Avs. So like going back to like the dirtiest player ever, Claude Lemieux and Patty Roy and all those scumbags. So I feel your pain. Az fans can be totally, totally insufferable. Not that Red Wings fans, you know, ever can. I mean, they're never. Yeah, they're just way. Yeah. Nothing wrong with them at all.
We'll continue to take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Discussing the Preds all show long. 615-737-1025. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Hello there, guys. This is a major medical breakthrough if you're struggling with erectile dysfunction. We're talking no pills here, no chemicals that eliminates those annoying side effects. Hillside Medical uses the most advanced form of wave therapy. This is a technology that uses pressure waves. Think of what we do to a muscle in the gym. We build that muscle up stronger. That's what these pressure waves are clinically proven to do to the blood vessels. The end result, more blood flow in the bedroom and no pills involved.
So, Andrew, you mentioned clinically proven. What sort of studies have been done on this technology?
Well, it's pretty extensive. We have one of the biggest universities in the world, one of the biggest hospitals in America, and 50 others that have studied this, vetted it. It has been called the new standard of care for erectile dysfunction.
And, Andrew, you've got a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
We really believe in delivering the value, guys. If you're ready to put a stop to the ED, if you're ready to regain your love life, you could be done with treatments inside of this month. Call us now. The exam, the assessment, even the ultrasound, we're going to do it free. Plus a gift that you'll love. It produces results in the bedroom in minutes. This is worth hundreds of dollars. It's totally free to callers right now.
You heard it, guys. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic at 615-576-5000. There's a new way to hear us on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can check us out on 106.3 from downtown Nashville to Spring Hill on I-65 and to Murfreesboro on I-24. You now have two choices to hear our great sports programming and the Nashville Predators. Check out 106.3 now and save it as a preset. Joe, if that's the first read I screw up all day at 8:18 after getting 4 hours of sleep, I'll take it. I figured I would have said way worse stuff by now.
You've done remarkably well.
You guys have been killing it, both of you. I'm proud.
Thanks. And I ran out of coffee edibles, so pretty amazing stuff.
I'm going to buy you little espresso beans.
I want to read this unidentified texter, but I like this text. It's an interesting one. On the text line driven by WilsonCounty.com, I always ask myself three questions at the end of a sports season. One, was I entertained? Yes. Team was super entertaining. Sorrow saves, you know, running people over. 40-goal guys, Yossi equals Norris. Two, was it fun? Yeah, Bridgestone was rocking all year. Great fans. Yummy treats. I don't know if he's talking about coffee edibles or not. But
I don't know.
Three, am I optimistic? Yeah, of course. Got to sign Forsberg. Saros get healthy. Hopefully develop a good second-line scorer. Trade for one and rebuild the defense. If you blow this up to rebuild, it will be a long, slow, painful process. See the Red Wings and Sabres, etc. I think it's a little sunshiny, but some people feel that way. And that's fine. And I think, you know, overall, you take this season as a whole, and I agree, it was an entertaining, fun season.
Well, there are many, I mean, there are things to be, you know, I think excited about. Yossi's still here. I was encouraged by Philip Tomasino. I know he didn't do much in the playoffs. I think Tomasino is going to be a player for them as they move forward here. You know, obviously a lot of this comes down to Forsberg. And we talked about this earlier, Joe. There was, you know, a few videos out there. I should have mentioned yours, so I apologize retroactively, but you took a great video last night of Philip Forsberg in, you know, after the handshake line is done, you get through shaking hands with Colorado, the Predators saluted the crowd. And it does kind of look like Philip Forsberg is kind of taking it all in, skating around with his stick in the air. He was the last one to come off the ice. You know, a lot of Preds fans are making a big deal of that, of maybe that's a farewell lap from Forsberg last night. We had Chris, our buddy on the text line earlier, who's a photographer, text in a still shot of Forsberg. And it does look like he's just kind of taking it in, looking up at the crowd, skating around out there. So, you know, I did think about this last night as that game was going final and Nathan McKinnon's goal goes in the empty net. My thought was, could this be the last time that we see Philip Forsberg in a Nashville Predators uniform? And honestly, I'm surprised it's gotten to this point where he doesn't have a contract. And now that we're here and the playoffs are done for them, you've got 2 months to figure this out if you're the Predators. I'm not saying they won't figure it out because there's still plenty of time to do so. But if they've not figured it out by now, that makes me pretty skeptical that they will moving forward. That's just me. And we'll see today. He talks today. Like the players are talking today at 5:00. I would imagine Philip Forsberg's going to be a part of that. I'm very interested to see what, if anything, he says about this.
Yeah, probably not a ton. And look, I think if you're Forsberg, just remember that you know it's possible you're not back. You know that. You know, like, you don't know for sure you're back here. There's no contract signed. So taking an extra look, it could also just be, you know, in case. It could be an in case last lap and last look and take it all in. while keeping an open mind that, you know, maybe David Poile crosses whatever line David Poile has drawn that he won't cross, because clearly there's a gap here between the two sides. I don't maybe Forsberg knows he's gone. Maybe he knows it's over. Like, he's like, I'm that's it. I'm resolved. I'm leaving. That's it. But I think that would be reading a little bit too much into it to pretend to know. Of course, we can't get inside his head, but yes, it's worth asking him tonight if he's leaving.
Yeah. Philip, what are you doing? Tell us everything that's going on right now. Where do you want to play? Is it here? Is it LA? Lay it all out there for us.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yep, no question about that. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Rob from Franklin, who wants to weigh in. Rob, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, thank you, guys, and you've done a great job with the Preds all season, so thanks for all the insights.
Thank you.
Do I get a four-minute call after I said that?
Yeah, the clock's rolling. That's right.
Yeah, let's go. So, yeah, I think that the last text was kind of interesting and bleeds a lot of thought into things. Do you want to win 60% of your games and be highly entertained 60% of the time and get bounced out the first round? Or do you want to settle back, reset the clock to zero, take about probably 5 to 6 years, and then take a real run at things? Well, there's one thing that Poile has done well through his entire career, is talked his way into a job and out of a mediocre season. And I'll be very interested to see his word selection today and tomorrow and the next day as he talks his way into another year and not getting fired. But hey, he's sized it up pretty well. He's put his son in the number one position to be the next GM, as assistant GM and director of hockey operations, which is the number two person. So what do we get? You're going to fire Poile and Brian Poile at the same time? I'm thinking at this point, you need to ask yourself one question. Is he a good judge of offensive talent? And I would tell you no.
Hey, thanks for the call, Rob. We appreciate it. I mean, Joe, to that point, we discussed this part of it earlier. Like, there's a whole lot of people upset at Hines, upset at Poile, and we understand that. We've seen more Poile, I think, today on the text line. Number one, let me just go ahead and say this. They're not going to fire David Poile. Like, I don't think they would ever fire David Poile. Now, they may say, hey, you know, Brian Poile's taken over as general manager, or we're transitioning to someone else. But David Poile's been here since 1998. They're not going to fire him. So that's just kind of the thought I have.
But see, that's ridiculous.
I understand that, but I'm just telling you, they're not going to do it.
I mean, then that, like, again, if that's true, that there's just that your GM is untouchable in a professional sports organization, then
that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying they may transition him out. Like, they may start the process, like, as Benny put out, but they're not going to just outright fire him and sever ties. It's not going to happen.
Well, so, but see, to the point there of, you know, why, if it's just that, then that's not really the same thing. I mean, to me, you know, if you do fire someone, just any professional sports franchise, you fire a GM, that means you fire everyone. I mean, that means you're bringing in a completely new personnel department. I don't think that should be a complete no chance or non-starter with any professional sports organization.
I don't think it should either. I just think that's the way it's going to go when that day comes.
Yeah. So then the question, so let's say that, you know, it's like, okay, how about a transitional period or someone to sort of share duties? Like Vingan wrote today in The Athletic, he wrote about the idea of maybe someone else, but that person has final say. You know, to me, the only way that you're, again, like, the point, I think, is to get like some fresh perspectives, right? Fresh eyes on things. So that would have to be someone from outside, right?
I would think so. I'm just telling you, for all the people who want to move on from David Poile, I understand. I mean, we've talked about this for a couple of years now. Like, I understand he's been the only general manager this franchise has had since day one. That does not happen in professional sports. I have no inside information on this. my read on the situation, if they move on from David Poyle, it's probably going to be for Brian Poyle. Like I don't really see it going any other direction. I could be wrong, but I think that's what they've been preparing for. So then you can ask yourself that question. Is that what you want as a Predators fan? What's your reaction to that going to be? Because when the day comes when David Poyle is no longer the general manager of the Nashville Predators, whether that's this year, whether that's 10 years from now, I think that Brian Poyle is going to be the next guy. Like, I think that's what's going to happen. So, you know, obviously you can think about that, whatever you want to think about it. That's your prerogative. I just think that's how this is going to end up going.
Has that ever happened?
I don't know. I
mean, in ownership, you know, like the Rooneys and you know, the team president slash, you know, they have a piece of the team. I mean, I don't know. I'm asking. I have no idea. I think that's incredible. Like, again, you know, Brian Poyle could be the smartest hockey mind in the world. He could be. His last name is going to make people upset if that's how it goes. Well, especially if the transition is in with the franchise in the state it's in or somewhere thereabouts, right? Yeah. If you go win a cup, and then I actually think even if the president had won a cup, and let's say they were on top and Poyle's like, I'm walking out, that's probably the best chance you ever have of a GM of passing off to a kid. Even then, I think a lot of Preds fans would be like, wait a minute, you know, come on. But in this situation, I think the reaction would be incredibly negative to that.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Preds on our text line and our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Nashville Predators, season tickets for the Preds 2022-23 season are on sale now. Full half and quarter season plans are available. You can join the Loyal Legion today and receive the best seat locations. And as a season ticket citizen, you'll receive up to 6 bonus tickets to share with friends and family during the 2022-23 regular season as well. Season ticket citizens receive season-long benefits, including concession discounts, Nashville locker room discounts, pre-sales to shows at Bridgestone Arena, saving on Preds Foundation events, and much, much more. You can learn more at NashvillePredators.com/season tickets. Once again, that's NashvillePredators.com/season tickets. Do you want to help families who have soldiers who gave the ultimate sacrifice? Well, join us on ESPN 102.5 The Game and 106.3 The Game for the Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor coming up on May 16th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities to support a great cause. You can sign up or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Adam in Portland who wants to weigh in. Adam, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, man. So I know the day after the season ends, a lot of the time it's fire everybody, fire everybody. I don't necessarily agree with fire everybody, but I do say John Hines, man, he's proven himself to be a loser, like, throughout his career. And that's not him as a person. You know, he seems like an awesome dude, family man. But he's lost. Everywhere he's went, he's lost. So, it's guys in sports prove themselves to you, and then you bring them in, and they do the same thing. So, yeah, I say get rid of Poyle. I love Barry Trotz, man. I don't know if you guys are going to get into it like that, but he's out there. And even during the cup run, man, I will say, let Scorsberg walk. Like, if you're going to do something completely different, just let him walk, man. He's a flashy player, but he's also very streaky, and he is very quiet in the postseason. But as far as Barry Trotz, man, I would absolutely love to get that defensive man back here. Even during our run, I was like, man, I wish Barry Trotz could have been part of this. So it'd be nice to have him back home.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. We appreciate it. I mean, look, the Barry Trotz part of this, you know, Joe, I've made my position pretty clear on this. I like John Hines. I think John Hines is a good coach. I think for the most part, he's done a good job. Now, are there things here and there that you can pick at? Yeah, for sure. I mean, no coach is perfect. And, you know, if you're going to talk about, you know, folding up, coming down the stretch and the team, you know, the wheels falling off a little bit, John Hines has to get some blame for that. So I have no problem giving John Hines some blame for that. I think he's a good coach. I think the Predators should pick up his option, and I think he should be the coach next year. Now, having said that, and I said this last night on Preds Insiders as well, I'm making a phone call to Barry Trotz. Absolutely. I mean, I think it would be malpractice not to do that. Barry Trotz obviously has deep connections here. I have no clue what Barry Trotz wants to do. I don't know if he wants to continue coaching. I don't know if he wants to go into management. And if he does want to continue coaching, I have no idea whether or not he'd have interest coming back here, because if I'm Barry Trotz, I want to coach a team that's a Stanley Cup contender. And right now the Predators are just not a Stanley Cup contender. So I don't know what his interest level would be in coming back here. But if he does have interest, yeah, I'd go after Barry Trotz. Like, and that's nothing against John Hines. I said this last night on Preds Insiders. Barry Trotz is top five in the history of the league and wins and is the Stanley Cup champion. He's a Hall of Fame NHL head coach. Like, I would absolutely go after Barry Trotz if he is wanting to come back and coach here in Nashville. I'm not convinced that he is. I don't know what he wants to do as they move forward. But really, outside of that, like, unless you can show me an option that's clearly better, and I think Barry Trotz is clearly better, then I'm sticking with John Hines next year. First meet of the day for Rex Road. Thought it would take a little bit shorter than this. Well done.
Man, that was the best start of a sentence of my day, too, with zero lip smacking whatsoever. We haven't talked a lot about Trotz today. I'm a little surprised it hasn't gone there more, because certainly it was a hot topic late in the show yesterday, and I thought all day yesterday. And I agree, it's worth looking at, worth kicking the tires. But like you said, he's going to have options. I know, a lot of discussion last night in the media room. There's a lot of talk about Winnipeg that would be going home for him. I think that's the thing with what you said. You know, some people ask, well, what about the relationship with him and Poyle? I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I think everything's good there. So that's not like some issue. But if you're him, you look at this team and you see not a contender, and also you don't see a clear path. You see the same thing we've been talking about now for almost 3 hours, and we'll talk about for another hour plus. What's the path? You know, what's the path to getting to where you want to be? And if you're him, I think you got to look at that too and wonder, like, how do you get out of this? It's a tough situation. With Adam, I'm going to disagree with you definitely on Hines with the he's done nothing but lose. First of all, he's won here, and I'd say he's overachieved relative to what he inherited, what expectations were. And in New Jersey, he had trash. He got to one playoff. He had a career year for Taylor Hall, and they were a bad franchise, a bad team, and they still are after he's gone. So it was totally fair to wonder what his credentials were coming in here. And a lot of it was in development, you know, developmental hockey, youth hockey, right? But
yep.
But I think he has elevated his profile as a coach in the NHL with what he has done in Nashville. Has he elevated it to top tier? No. Would I take Barry Trotz over John Hines? Of course. Barry Trotz has been incredible. Really.
Skins are on the wall, as Darren McFarland likes to say.
Yeah. So look, that's worth a call. I mean, the interesting thing there is, again, I've been the only thing with Poyle, ownership needs to talk, just like Vingan wrote. Ownership has to be accountable to the fans and have a voice and not have Sean Henry speak for ownership. Ownership needs to talk. John Hines, to me, cannot be fired by David Poyle and then Poyle go out and try to find another coach. And as far as firing Poyle, I mean, you got to have a plan. Ownership has to have a plan. What is your plan? How is it better? Because just firing someone and saying, okay, what's next, is that you're headed for trouble. But the Trotz thing does, I mean, it has to soften a little bit the stance on Hines, because if by chance he was just, you know, Ozzy Osbourne, mom, I'm coming home, then okay, you got to listen. I just have my doubts that's how he's going to look at it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know if Barry Trotz wants to keep coaching. Like, he very well could be, you know, at the point in his career where he wants to go into management to some degree. And, you know, maybe that's here, maybe that's somewhere else. I don't know. But, you know, Pierre LeBrun put it out there yesterday from The Athletic that he's going to take about a week and try to figure things out. And once he makes that decision, whether it's coaching or in management somewhere, then we'll see what happens on that front. But absolutely, if I'm the Predators, I'm making a call, and I'm sure that, you know, look, I know there are people with the Predators that keep in touch with him pretty often anyway. So I would imagine it's going to come up one way or the other in casual conversation. Donovan from Wisconsin on the text line says, I'd say the Preds could complete a rebuild in 3 years if they do it right. They need a complete new front office. It's been way too long. John Hines does not know how to make adjustments in game. He's failed every single time he's had the opportunity to do so, playing back-to-backs with the same goalie, overusing that same goalie. It's a huge jump from 40 games to 75. So there's a lot to unpack there. The thing I want to drill down on that I need Predators fans to understand. If a rebuild goes perfectly, could you pull it off in 2 or 3 years? Yeah. If everything lines up and you are bad enough to get a draft pick where it can change the face of your franchise, like a Nathan MacKinnon, like a Connor McDavid, like a Sidney Crosby, then yeah, you can turn things around pretty quickly. You mentioned the New Jersey Devils. They've been picking high for 5 years now, and they're no closer to being out of it than they were when they started. The idea that you can complete a rebuild in 3 years if you do it right, well, the if you do it right part of it is way harder than people think it is. Like, it takes a lot of things to go well. And look, I'm not saying ultimately at the end of the day, like they could reach a point where the rebuild is the right thing to do. And maybe they're there now. I don't know. Like, I agree with those Predators fans who say, I just don't know that this core is good enough to win a Stanley Cup. I don't think it is. Like, I don't think this core is good enough to win a Stanley Cup. But the idea of the rebuild, I get it, but sometimes it doesn't go the way you think it's going to go. And here you are 7 years later, like the Detroit Red Wings, and you're no closer to being out of it than you were when you started. Like, it's a risky proposition to go that route. And can it work out? Sure, but it could also blow up right in your face.
Yeah, and some of this is, look, it's like we talk about different sects within a fan, S-E-C-T-S, within a fan base.
Good. I don't know where you're going with that.
Oh, please give me another coffee edible. Different elements, let's say, of a fan base. You know, you got some people who like the texter earlier. Hey, I had a blast this year. You know what? This team was fun. They were fun to watch. We got some good players, made the playoffs, do this and that. I can see it getting better. But you've got, I think, a lot of fans with this fan base and a growing crowd. And frankly, I mean, I side more with them. I agree more with them and with what you just said. I don't see this group winning a Stanley Cup. And that is the point, right? It's like with sure. the Titans, some moves didn't work out. You know, Julio and Clowney and all that. But as a fan, that's what I want from my GM. I want, when you're that close, you get to the title game, you get right there, I want going for it. I want going for it like Poyle went for it. It's just that Poyle made some bad choices in the immediate aftermath of 2017, right? I mean, you thought Kyle Turris was the answer for his number two center. I mean, but I like the idea of going for it. I think – on the flip side of that is when you know that you just don't have it, I think as a fan, at some point you get to the point where it's like, you just have to do something different. You gotta be willing to step back. But some people are like, you know what? I like being in this building with my seats with a team that's at least competitive and feeling like we can get in the playoffs. This is another great online poll possibility.
Well, and Austin on YouTube says, if Hines and Poyle are here next season, many people, including me, aren't going to be watching. I'm tired of the Poyle mediocrity. I mean, that is one thing. I was interested to see this last night. You know, we talked about the crowd in game three. There's some empty seats in that building, and it was not the same environment that I'm used to in the playoffs. Now, how much of that had to do with, you know, Colorado and the series going the way that it did? I don't know. I thought the crowd was good last night, but if I'm sure there are people like Austin who say, all right, you know, we've seen a lot of this, we've seen enough of this, and we want change. Like, it's interesting, the split in the Predators fan base. And you're always going to have a split to some degree, but I feel like it's pretty pronounced in this fan base right now.
Real quick before we go to break on my personal text line, Greg Pode, sex between SEC fan bases. I just ran off the road. I'm going to send you a bill. Kyle Tucker, if there was more fan sex, Twitter would be less angry. I deserve it.
By the way, DJ Burnside on Twitter has photoshopped Philip Forsberg's head on Ryan Tannehill's body on the boat, and he is fishing up a contract. At Dennis J. Burnside on Twitter. Just tweeted that out at our Stanley NHL as well. We'll get more of your Preds thoughts and reactions coming up next. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nashville's own Big Machine Distillery wants to send you to the inaugural Tennessee Whiskey Trail Experience to celebrate International Tennessee Whiskey Day coming up on May 21st at Nissan Stadium. Text WHISKEY to 615-737-1025. That's WHISKEY to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of tickets. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll have Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, coming up at 9:30. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds and their season coming to an end last night and where the Preds go from here. That's coming up at 9:30. Right now, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. A lot of people saying Joe is on the text line, going with the coffee edibles and what we discussed last segment as well. I didn't know where to go with that.
The fans make love, not war. Yeah.
There you go, Joe.
All right, so Jared has weighed in with his whining, as you might expect. I mean, he probably tried on Twitter, but thank goodness I can't. Can I block him? Can I block his phone number too?
Is yes, that you possible?
Can. You do really? Ooh, interesting. Okay, an alt text. He ain't one bleep here about Hines. Mike Mularkey has one more than John Hines. Here's the point. Adam said he's done nothing but lose. Okay. He has a winning record here. He has been to the postseason all three chances. That's not losing. It's technically winning. But first of all, it's inaccurate, okay? Is he winning playoff series? No. Has he overachieved? Has John Hines, given what he has had to work with in his entire tenure here, and remember what he took over, what was going on with Peter Laviolette fired by David Poile, has John Hines overachieved relative to what he has been coaching on the ice in so far in his tenure in Nashville? Do you think so? Yes or no?
I think so.
I think so too.
I've said for a long time, I think the problems with this team are way more roster based than they are coach based at the moment.
Yeah. So Hines, the 500 coach's entire tenure in the NHL. Again, well, he was less than that in New Jersey. He had a terrible team. He's had an opportunity to coach a terrible team. He's had an opportunity to coach a mediocre team that was going one direction and went back the other way for whatever reason. If you want to say, give all that credit to the player or give the credit to Poile or whatever, that's fine. I think that the coach probably should get some credit for the trajectory changing. I do give him credit for that. You're welcome to not give him credit for that. But he's had two opportunities to coach in this league. One, just a bad, it's your first job coaching job, bad team. And now this, which hasn't been great. I don't know that John Hines will ever be a great coach or that he'll ever win a cup. I think that people are misguided if they're focusing their anger on John Hines.
I agree. Now, I will say he's 3-14 in the playoffs. When you go back to his series with New Jersey, they won one game
against Tampa Bay.
They got beat 4-1 in that series. The Arizona series here, which we've talked about in the bubble, was one that the Predators absolutely had no business losing, and they did in that series. You played, I thought, pretty well against Carolina last year. You held in there nicely, and then you just got absolutely smoked against Colorado in this series. So the playoff record is what it is. He's 3-14 now. To your point, Joe, in three of those four matchups, he was taking on elite teams, elite-level teams. And I hear, the Predators fan the same. Well, that's great. Be better in the regular season where you don't have to take on those elite teams in the first round of the playoffs. I understand that, and there's plenty of blame to go around in terms of the last 2 weeks of the regular season when this team, had the first wild card in their grasp and they totally screwed it up. I mean, that's what happened coming down the stretch here. So, look, I like John Hines. I think he's done a good job. I do think he's overachieved, but the playoff record is what it is. He's 3-14 in those games.
Yeah, that's true. Never would have expected. It's totally as expected with the Devils against the Lightning last year. This year, again, you can't say sorrows for everything that's happened from April on at all because he was on the ice for a lot of that. I do think I could buy, like, if someone wants to say Soros might have given him a win in one of these last two games. I could buy that. But they're overmatched. So you know, they lost in four. Could they have gotten into five or six? Maybe. That would have been impressive. I thought last year was a pretty good performance, you know, and they had a chance to win game five. 2-2-2. They're in Carolina right there with them all the way. They had a chance to win game five, didn't get it done. I mean, I think that was the best of his four playoff opportunities. And like you said, the worst would be the one before that, because you can't lose to that team. 3-14 is not great. Again, I'm not saying John Hines is the rising star of coaches in the NHL, but you know, these, like, I'm sorry. I got on the text line, like he never makes an in-game adjustment. Come on.
That's just not true. I mean, look, do I agree with everything John Hines does? No. Like, when they trotted those lines out there last night in the first part of the game, I was like, oh, boy, I don't know if this is going to go well. And honestly, it did not take them very long into the game last night to switch those things around. You put the herd line back together, and you put Forsberg back with Granlund and Duchesne, and it happened pretty quickly. So, yep. Like, I think, first off, that's an in-game adjustment right there. Now, it's an in-game adjustment based off, I think, a poor decision heading into the game to put the lines the way that they were. Look, John Hines is not perfect. I've already talked about it. If Barry Trotz is out there and available and he wants to come back to Nashville, I'm doing everything I can do to make that happen if I'm the Predators. So I'm not sitting here acting like John Hines is Scotty Bowman or anything like that, but I think some people are going a little overboard with the Hines stuff. To me, it's way more roster-based. Like, do we not give John Hines credit for Duchesne and Forsberg and Josi and Johansson and Granlund and all these different guys who are really good this year? I do.
I do too. I mean, look, the Duchesne thing is well documented. We had Duchesne on the show every week last season in amid, I'd say, probably the worst season of his professional career.
Yes.
He handled it pretty well. And there were a couple times, probably more than a couple times, when I would say it was kind of clear that there was some level of disconnect with him and John Hines. And I think the same was true of Ryan Johansson. And those guys have talked about it, all three of them, about their conversations. And I don't think there's any doubt that them kind of seeing what he wanted out of them helped them have better seasons. I mean, of course, it's still on the players on the ice, but coaches, their job is to put them in position to have success and get the most out of players. I think he did that this year. If you are going to completely dismiss that, then you just are focused on John Hines has to be gone, which is Jared's problem. I mean, Jared, like, seizes on some challenge the other day, like it's the worst challenge ever, because he wants to find some reason that John Hines has to go.
I got a texter on the text line that says, Robbie, welcome to the NHL. Our expectations are to put together an elite team. The issue is we're not putting a good enough product on the ice. We should expect nothing less. Well, that's what I'm talking about. The roster. This goes back to the roster. The roster is not good enough. That's my entire point. Do I need to be more clear on that?
I hear you.
All right. I'm just checking. Coming up next, we'll get to a thought on the David Poile part of this that has left me kind of mystified the last couple of days. That's coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.